When you think about little babies, it can fill you with memories or ideas of both good and bad things, of beautiful things and somewhat unpleasant things as well. Babies are so beautiful when they sleep. I remember even my littlest brother, maybe this is a little creepy, but at night, you know, sneaking into his room to watch him sleep in his crib because it was just such a, you know, calming thing to watch him. It's probably why he won't tell me anything anymore, because he thinks I'm watching him. Probably scarred the poor kid for life. You know, when a baby is nursing or being fed, you know, it's just content. When it smiles at you, when you hold it in your arms and it looks up at you with that just kind of unconditional love. And yet there are things about babies that maybe aren't so pleasant, when we have to change a diaper or when they're crying at 2 a.m. because they can't do anything for themselves. And what's really beautiful is that Jesus Christ, when he was born, was one of those babies. One that Mary could hold in her arms and would look beautiful, who she could watch at night and would be beautiful, but whose diaper had to be changed, who had to be fed, who made a mess and burped things up. And why is this beautiful, all of it? Because God chose it. Because God chose to become one of those little ones. Both with the beautiful things and the messy things. He came to marry the beautiful to the ugly so that the ugly could become something beautiful. He came to marry the human to the divine. Our first reading tonight, or all, many of our readings tonight, talk about not remaining silent, but rejoicing in the Lord. This idea of crying out to him. And just as a baby cries out, we must do the same. A lot of people, in fact, it's kind of funny because in church, a lot of people think, well, you know, crying babies, that's a bad thing. I actually enjoy crying babies to an extent. Why? Because that crying baby is actually praising God simply by crying. They're doing what God has, in essence, created them to do. And sometimes they sing more than us. They make a joyful noise, as the scripture says, to our God. But there is also a need to be silent. Can anybody tell me what Joseph's first words in the Gospels were? Now, none of you should be raising your hands, because there are no words of Joseph in the Gospels. He remains silent. And we learn in our Christian faith that both crying out to God and voicing our most inner desires are just as key as remaining silent so that we can hear him. Just as we look at a baby that sleeps in its crib and is silent, and we are filled with peace because of that rest, God wants us to experience the same thing. We can't be afraid to be quiet and to just stare into God's presence. This is exactly what we do in Eucharistic adoration. But we know that babies cannot just cry and not just be quiet, but they also make a lot of messes. I was visiting with the children at the children's mass earlier this evening, and I asked them, well, what kind of messes do babies make? And one little boy said something, and I said, well, I'm sorry, I can't repeat that in church. But what a baby teaches us and what the Christ child teaches us is that even when we make a mess, we need somebody else to help clean it up. You see, brothers and sisters, when we sin, when we do things that we know God has not designed us to do, or violates the laws he's given us in scriptures, we sit in our own filth. And the problem is not that. That is a given for fallen human beings. The problem is when we won't reach out and ask for help. And a baby teaches us that you got to be humble. And you have to ask somebody else to do it. Now, a baby doesn't have the words, so they cry. Is it so different for us? We must choose, not be too proud, to ask God to clean up our mess. And the same humility that a little baby has, or perhaps an elderly adult, is the same humility God's asking of us. I kind of joke around with our elderly because, you know, they're stuck in care homes and stuck. They get so frustrated because they can't do the things that they used to do. That's one thing you hear over and over from them. And I say, well, you know, you started this world in diapers and you end this world in diapers. You start this world being fed and you end this world being fed by somebody. You start with no control and you end with no control. You start with humility, but will you end that way? You see, God actually will take control out of your life to get you to give it up. And he will allow you to experience the most humble of things so that you will have humility. You know, if you think about that first Christmas night, how scared Mary and Joseph must have been. Mary's got this baby that she has told comes from the Holy Spirit. She's with a man who, he's a righteous man. He seems like a good man. But she's probably scared knowing he's scared because he knows it's not his child. Joseph's scared because he's agreed to go along for the ride but doesn't know what's going to happen. And then this beautiful new life comes into the world. I remember once I was doing hospital ministry and I knocked on the door. It was a maternity ward, and I knocked on the door and didn't hear an answer, which is often the case in hospitals, so I kind of poked my head in. And I saw this young mother lying in a hospital bed, hospital gown, holding her baby, just staring down, smiling at it. And I mean, what? How do they portray it in the movies, right? The mother, you know, goes through the pain of childbirth, but then holds this little baby in her arms and just is filled with joy. And the scriptures even reflect that, saying that the joy of actually seeing that child makes all the pain worth it. And I've heard that from at least my mother, at least when she looked at me, I hope. But why? Because they delight, both the mother and the father delight in what they have created. It's beautiful. And brothers and sisters, you need to be reminded that God looks the same way at you. I mean, just as a mother holds that baby in her arms and thinks, wow, so this is what's been growing for the last 40 weeks. And this is what we have created. Brothers and sisters, God looks at you the same way. In fact, in the scriptures, he describes it as delighting in you, rejoicing in you. Don't let this world, Satan, or even yourself deny God the pleasure of looking at his creation and seeing that it is beautiful. You see, little babies, whether born in these days or 2,000 years ago, teach us that we need to cry out to God, but we also need to be silent and listen and to just stare. That we need someone to clean up our messes, and that we cannot do it alone. That we need to love and to be loved. And that the starting point of being loved is realizing that God delights in us. Pope Francis recently published what we call an apostolic exhortation. It's called The Joy of the Gospel. And in it, he says this: "For if we have received the love which restores meaning to our lives, how can we fail to share that love with others?" He puts into beautiful words what we often say: you cannot give what you do not have. So this Christmas, be loved. Be delighted in. Let God take both the beautiful things about you and the messy things about you and turn them into something divine.